John chapter 5 this evening. I want to thank you all for coming out. Thank you all for online at listening, and glad to see everybody. Get these wires wadded up, or we'll have a tangled up mess. John chapter 5 and verse number 1. The Bible says, after this, there was a fast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, and he had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed, and walk. Then asked they him, What man is it which said unto thee, Take up thy bed, and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus finding him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Let's pray this evening. Lord, I just want to thank you for allowing us to come into your house again tonight, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you'll bless this message, God, that your presence will be with us, Lord, tonight. God, I ask that you'll help me to have clarity of speech this evening and mind. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts and minds that are here tonight and listening online, God, that your message will be for all of us, God, that it'll help to encourage us and to help us to be more like you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you'll flip over with me again to the book of Luke, chapter 5, there's another account in Luke of a man that was healed. In Luke chapter 5 and verse number 17, Bible says, And it came to pass on a certain day there was a teaching that were there in the Pharisees and the doctors of the law setting by which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men had brought in a bed a man in which was taken with the palsy, that they sought means to bring him in and to lay before him. And when they could not find what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went on to the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when they saw their faith, he said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. And he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before him, and took that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Now these two accounts in the Bible, but there's two different men that Jesus had healed. Both of them were sick in bed. They can't get up. They can't move. They can't walk. And Jesus healed them. He told them to rise up. He told them to take their bed. And he told them to walk. He told them to go on in both accounts. These two different men. And I know throughout the New Testament, the Bible says several accounts of Jesus healing different people. He healed blind men. He raised people from the dead. I mean, many, many miracles that the Lord had done. But I want to talk about these two things tonight in the book of John. And also it talks about this man with the palsy in Matthew and in Mark as well. But they both had these two things in common, that they were healed of the Lord. They were told to take up their bed, and they were told to walk. And also, one other thing was he forgave them of their sins, both of them. The second man was forgiven of his sins. The Bible says he was made whole, and then it says later there in that chapter, towards the end of that passage that we read, that Jesus told him to go and sin no more. He told him that if he would sin any more, that there would be a worse thing come upon him. But he told him to go on and to not sin, and that his sins had been forgiven him. And then the man with the palsy, before he ever raised him and healed him, he told him that his sins had been forgiven. So they have these two things in common in these two stories here. But the Bible says in verse number 24, the Bible says that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And in verse number 31 and 32 of the passage, the chapter that we just read there in Luke, if you're still there, down into verse number 31, the Bible says, "And Jesus answered, saying unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I am come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And tonight I want to talk about for just a little while the first thing that we see in this story, and that was forgiveness of sins. God's gift to the world was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's greatest miracle. We read about all the miracles in the Bible. We read about how he fed thousands of people out of nothing, basically. We read about how he walked on the water. We read about death, the people being raised from the dead. We read about people being healed and these lame people being able to made whole and to walk. But God's greatest miracle, the greatest thing that Jesus Christ done was he walked on this earth, was not a physical healing. It wasn't feeding the multitudes or walking on the water, but overcoming death and the forgiveness of sin. Amen. That was God's greatest gift to the world. Overcoming of death and the forgiveness of sin. Here is the gospel in that story. We are all sick and in need of physician. Amen. Every one of us tonight. The Bible says that death is an eternal separation from God. It's not just dying and going into the ground. Right. But there's a punishment. There's an eternal punishment of hell. Yeah. And God came, He gave us a way in His Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from that punishment. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, "But God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You say to me tonight, you might be listening and you're wondering, or if you're here tonight, well, would a just God, send me to hell? This God that I think of, He's a loving God. We hear about God's love, and you know, I think that God would understand my heart and understand my intentions and know that I want to do right. And I don't think God would send me to hell knowing my desires and my thoughts. I'm here to tell you tonight that God is a loving God. And even though He knows your thoughts and desires or what you might think, God is a holy God. Amen. God is a just God. Amen. And a loving God. God's holiness cannot allow unrighteousness in His presence. In Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, it says, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. God cannot allow sin in His presence. God is a loving God, and He loved us so much that He made a way that we could spend eternity in heaven. We could escape the punishment. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, as we just read, and in John 3:16, says it so simply and plain that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the gospel wrapped up. You say, you know, that's a little kid's verse that we try to teach them. No, that's God's Bible. That's God's Word. That's a precious verse. It's a very special verse. That's the gospel all wrapped up right there together. That God made a way. He gave us a gift. Just as there's no questions or debates, the way is plain. In John chapter 14, verse number 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God is a just God. There is no other way into heaven. God was not sending you to hell because of your sin or because of your misdeeds or whatever you might want to call them, but because of your rejection of His Son. God has made a way to heaven. There's one way. There's no two ways about it. There's no debates. Amen. We see in our court systems today that a lot of times we get this messed up mindset because the way things are, you know, you see somebody that's committed a murder and they may get 5 years probation and then somebody that got caught out drinking one night one too many times and they get the same punishment, and we think, how is this a just thing? God is not like that. Amen. It's a plain straight line. There's no two ways. There's no separation. It's one thing. You have God's Son that He's provided a way, a gift. You either accept Him or you reject Him. That's what it amounts to. That's the gospel, plain up in one deal. Your pass card to heaven is not punched by your living right. It's not by making commitments. It's not by faithfulness to church. It's not by being religious. It's not by treating your wife good or trying to provide for your family or being a good old boy or a good old girl. It's not weighing up in the balances and saying, well, I've done these good deeds. I know I've got some bad things in my life. I've said it before, but there ain't no rock piles in heaven. Yeah. You're not going to be going to heaven and paying for some of the bad things that you've done. I've told it before, but a man told me one time, he said, you know, me and God are good. He said, I've got a lot of problems in my life, but he said, I'm good with God. I love Jesus. I love the Lord. I know I'm going to have to pick up some rocks when I get to heaven. I said, that ain't the way it works. You've got one or two choices. Accept God or reject Him. God's holy gift. On your acceptance or rejection is what determines your place in heaven or hell tonight. The second thing I want to look at tonight, God's forgiveness of sin was the first thing we've seen in the story, but the second thing I want to kind of zero in on a little bit this evening, the Bible says that God told both of these men, He told them to rise up. He said, rise up. Now I want to look at that this evening. In Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16, the Bible says, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. Satan's number one goal tonight is to take you to hell. That's his number one priority. If he can take you to hell, that's what he's going to do. By whatever means possible, he'll tell you lies. He's going to tell you you're good with God. He's going to tell you whatever he wants, whatever is going to work to make you reject God's Son, to reject His gift. That's his number one priority tonight, is to take you to hell. If he can't do that, the next thing Satan wants to do, if you're saved, if you're a Christian, if God has you're trusting in God's blood alone, in Jesus Christ, you accept God's gift, and you can say, without a doubt, I'm going to heaven. I am saved, and I'm not going to hell. The second thing that Satan wants to do tonight is he wants to make you impotent. Yep. He wants to make you blind, yep. Halted, withered, yep. Christians. He wants you to be ineffective. He wants you to not be able to see a need around you. He wants to make he wants you to be able to see but not move on it.
Yep.
He wants you to draw back. He wants you to be drawn back from the service of God. He wants you to pull back from the ministry.
Yep.
Maybe whatever it is, you've been hurt or whatever it might be that you've been withered up. That's his second priority. If he can't take you to hell, he wants to ruin your effectiveness as a Christian tonight. In Micah chapter 7, in verse 8, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall. I shall arise when I sit in darkness. The Lord shall be a light to me." I'm here to tell us tonight that whatever it is that's going on in your life, God has called you to rise up. He's asking you to rise up tonight. Jesus said to the Pharisees in Luke chapter 5 and verse 23, we read it already, "Whether is it easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven to thee,' or to rise up and walk?" I don't know what's going on in your life tonight. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's affected you. I don't even pretend to understand. I know things that goes on in my life. I know problems that I face, raising a family, going to work, and I'm sure that everybody has similar instances. I'm sure that each and every one of you listening tonight have got problems in your life that you say, you know what, preacher, you just don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand what I'm having to deal with. And you may be right. I may not have been through what you're dealing with. But you know what? God is still in control. God is still on the throne. And He's calling you tonight to rise up, to rise above that. He wants you to rise from it. I'm going to read some biblical examples of men that rose up in the Bible. And I'm going to try to go through these pretty quick. I hope you've got a pencil, a paper, or a pen or something you can write these references down and look back at them, and they're going to help you whenever you're going through some problems. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 15, the Bible talking about Lot, it says, "When in the morning rose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, 'Arise and take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city.'" We know the story about Lot. He was living in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. He'd moved off down into that way. And I would say that Lot was getting into a place where he was coming to a low place in his life spiritually. I'd say his walk with the Lord wasn't the greatest.
Right.
Living off down there in that sinful land.
Yeah.
Okay. The Bible says here that the angels came and they're trying to pull him out of that city. He didn't want to go. But they end up saying to him, they said, "Arise, take your family." He ended up going up out of there. He went to another city that should have been destroyed as well. He said, "It's just a little one. Take me off down there in that same valley." And then we know if we read on through the account of Lot's life there, how he ended up committing incest with his daughters and just a mess, that yet the Bible calls him a righteous man. Righteous Lot, the Bible says. Lot had went through some stuff in his life at this point, and then worse things came even after. Just like Jesus said to the man in John there, when he seen him in the temple, and he told him to sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee.
There it is.
Lot got in it. The Bible says to rise up out of that situation. Another person in the Bible is Ruth. Not a whole kind of a different story, but Ruth in chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "When she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not.'" Ruth had went through some hard times in her life. She'd lost her spouse. She'd left her home country, following her mother-in-law. Came into poverty. They had nothing. She was having to glean in the fields. She was having to go out and gather up their food that they was going to eat for that day. They didn't have no money. They didn't have anything. And she was in a low place in her life. But the Bible says that she rose up early in the morning. She got up and she went out and she gleaned in the fields. And God blessed her. And that Boaz came, and we know the story of Ruth, how Boaz came and they got married. And we also know about how her mother-in-law, Naomi, she said she was bitter. And then towards the end of the book, she says, "Don't call me bitter no more." But she rose up from that. David in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 21. "Then said his servants unto him, What is this thing that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise up and eat bread." David said, while the child was still living, it might be that God would have mercy. But now that he's dead, we need to rise up. Amen. It's time to rise up.
Right.
Like I said, I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what kind of problems you've faced or are going to face. But God can raise you above it.
Amen.
Amen. Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verses 1 through 8. Elijah had just came from a big mountaintop experience. Boy, I mean, the prophets of Baal hung them to the wall, wiped them out, killed them. God came down and blessed as he had his sacrifice spread out there. And then they cleaned house. Then what happens? Old Jezebel sent word, she's going to kill that feller. And he took to running. The Bible picks him up here in the next chapter, in chapter 19. He was laying under a juniper tree. And it says, "As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat." In verse number 5. And then in verse number 7, it tells him again, says you need to arise and eat. And then it says the end of the verse, "Because the journey is too great for thee." Amen. You need to rise up.
Amen.
Sometimes we need to rise up and we just need to go and draw from the Lord.
Amen.
You say, you know what? I can't face what the Lord's got, what this world's got going on. I can't deal with it. You know what? That's right. You can't. God has made a way. Sometimes you just need to let God feed you. You need to rise up and let God feed you. Let God minister unto you and let God take care of you. And in His timing, it'll come. The next thing it talks about, Elijah, he went back to sleep again and says that he went on that meat for 40 days and 40 nights. He went off into a cave and he went off to Mount Horeb and he went into a cave there. And then God comes to him, and in verse number 9, he's in this cave, and God says, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" God's done ministered to you. He's done give you strength for the journey. What are you doing sitting in the cave? Rise up!
Amen.
It's time to rise up. In Ezra chapter 9, in verse number 6, says, "I said, and said, oh my God, I am ashamed to blush and to lift up my face unto my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto heaven." The story here, Ezra, the land around, the nation has sinned. The Israelites have sinned, and they're just committed horrible transgressions against the Lord, and they're all traveling, and they're finally starting to come back together. They're getting their minds right, and they're starting to understand God's commandments and what this punishment. They've been in captivity and things, and he says, you know what? And Ezra says to God, he says, "I'm ashamed and blush to even lift up my face to thee." Ezra's going to pray to God, and he's so ashamed of what, and he says, "Our iniquities." He's talking about the nation, the land, the country that in our country that we live in tonight. We see that the iniquities that we've committed as a land, as a nation, we should be ashamed.
Amen.
You know what? The fault lies in our churches. It lies with us.
Amen.
The Bible says that we're supposed to be a salt and a light into the communities and our land around us. And yeah, you know what? I'm not accountable for everything that everybody else does, but I need to be the one that rises up and offers prayer to God. As Ezra said here, I need to be the one that's going to rise up and say, you know what, Lord, we want some blessings in our land. God, forgive us for our iniquities in our land as a nation. Rise up. In chapter 10 and verse number 4 of Ezra, it says, arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. And they rose up together as a land and a nation, and they prayed. Nehemiah is the next one we're going to look at in chapter 2 and verse 18. We know how the city of Jerusalem had been in ruins there. And Nehemiah petitioned the king to go in and to rebuild the city. And God had put it on his heart. And he goes to the people of the city and tells them about how the king had blessed them and how God had put it on their heart to rebuild the walls. And in verse number 2 and or chapter number 2 and verse number 18, it says, then I told him of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And he said, let us rise up and build, so that they strengthen their hands for this good work. You know, nobody was moving. Nobody was doing anything until he got there. Maybe it's up to us tonight. Pastor preached this morning about people rising up and becoming judges and legislatures and in our local communities, taking positions and trying to use godly counsel to run our land.
Yeah.
Getting back to God's Word and the truth in God's Word. It's time for us to rise up. In Esther chapter 4 and verse number 14, we all know the story of Esther, how she had been taken into to the king there, how the queen Vashti had been kicked out, and they brought all the women in, and Esther ended up getting she was the one that got picked. The king liked her, and she went and asked for that. She didn't ask to be brought in. She didn't raise her hand and say, you know what, I'll volunteer. I'll take the spot. I'll be the next queen. She didn't ask for that. She was brought in there. But the Bible says in chapter 4 and verse number 14, that Mordecai was talking to her about how Haman was fixing to destroy the Jews. He'd come up with this plot and had the king kind of suckered into it. And they're going to move in and they're going to kill out and wipe out all the Jews in the land. And Mordecai came to her and he said, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?
Amen.
You know what? God can use whatever means He wants to use.
Amen.
God doesn't have to use me. He doesn't have to use you. He don't have to use, He allows us to be able to be used. If we're willing, if we're available, God can use you. All you got to do is rise up whenever He calls you. God can use whatever He wants. God could have, in the Bible talks about having a donkey talk.
Yep.
You know what? He says in the Bible it talks about rocks crying out and praising the Lord. God can use whatever means He needs to use. But He allows us to be used, to be ministered to other people. He allows us to be able to be used of Him. And it may be, as He said to Esther there, maybe it's such a time as this in our country that some of us just need to rise up. We need to be available. In Psalms chapter 18, verses 5 and 6, for He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should rise and declare them to their children. What are we doing in our homes tonight? Are we making these laws? Are we making God's Word known to our children, that they can rise up and tell them to their children? We need to pass this on to generations and generations.
Amen.
It's not just, okay, well, you know what? God saved me. We're going to go to church. We're going to be faithful to church every Sunday. Preacher, I hope you preach to my kids, and I sure hope you make them understand so they can be saved. Yep. Okay? That's not the way it works.
Amen.
It's our responsibility as parents to train up our children.
Amen.
It's our responsibility as parents to teach our children how to rise up.
Amen.
If we're not risen up, if we're sitting down, if we're still laying on that bed, our children are sure not going to rise up and teach their children. It's our responsibility to rise up so our children can rise up. In Psalms chapter 119 and verse 62, "At midnight will I arise and give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments." In Proverbs chapter 31 and 15, talking about this virtuous woman in Proverbs, says she rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion unto her maidens. In Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 28, "Her children shall rise up and call her blessed, and her husband, and he praiseth her." What kind of a wife are you tonight? What kind of a mother are you tonight? Are you rising up late at night to make sure that you have provisions for your home? Or you just break out a box of cereal first thing in the morning? Huh? Come on now.
Yep.
I'd be a little bit ornery, but I'll tell you what, there ain't nothing compares to biscuits and gravy.
Yep.
Well, my wife can make biscuits and gravy and sausage and eggs and maybe a piece of toast or a hash brown on the side, and then she hands me a box of Cheerios. What do you think I'm going to do? I'm a pretty big old boy. I like to eat. We're going to have some biscuits and gravy at our house.
Amen.
Okay? I'm going to tell you right now, my wife knows how to cook them. I'm going to give her a little bit of praise. The Bible says to praise them.
Yep.
And if she knows how to cook biscuits and gravy, that's my favorite food in the whole world. I think we're going to have that when we get to heaven. Amen? Isaiah chapter 58 and verse number 10. "And if thou draw thy soul unto the hungry and satisfy and the afflicted soul, then thou shalt, then thy light shalt rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as noonday." Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1, "Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 17, "Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak to them all that I command thee, and be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them." God called Jeremiah to rise up. In Jonah chapter 1 and verse 2, God called Jonah to rise up. He told him to arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And in verse number 6, it says, after they'd gone on, and he got on the boat, and he's going the wrong way. Okay, and they're getting into a storm, and the Bible says in verse number 6, "So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call unto thy God, if so that God will think upon us that we perish not." And then again in chapter 3 of verse number 2 of Jonah, "Arise and go unto Nineveh." God said to him again, "Thou great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I have bid thee." You know what? Jonah didn't even want to go that way. He tried to run from God. He ended up getting rose up 2 or 3 times right there, okay? You know what? That's kind of where I'm at sometimes. God has to kick me in the britches every once in a while and say, "I done told you to get up once. It's time to go. Let's go."
Amen.
You know what? When I was a young feller, we used to milk cows. My dad liked to milk cows at 4 o'clock in the morning and 4 o'clock of an evening. That was every day. 4 o'clock's early day. There was one morning in particular, I remember it very well. I was tired. And 4 o'clock came. Dad came into my room. He said, "Son, get up. We got to get the cows." I said, "Okay." And I went back to sleep. And Dad went out and he got the barn set up, and there wasn't no cows coming. He came to the house. He looked in the window. I'm still in bed. He beat on the window. "Get up. We got to get the cows." And I said, "Okay." And I sat up. And while I was trying to pull my britches on, I fell back asleep. And the next thing I know, the coldest glass of water you ever seen in your life was dumped right down my face in the middle of my bed. He said, "I'll not tell you again." That time I got up. And sometimes that's what God's got to do to us. He's got to say, "Get up." He tells us to arise. 2 or 3 times we fall back asleep. We don't want to go. We try to go the other way. God's telling you tonight to arise, to get up and don't get on the move. God has called us to rise. Sometimes life knocks you down. You need to rise. Sometimes we've fallen into sin. You just need to rise. You need to get up and get past it. Sometimes this world, we're trying to take a stand and we feel like we're trying to stand all alone. So we just sit down. You know what? You need to rise up. You need to rise up. Maybe Satan's got you worn down. You just need to rise up. God wants you to rise. Whatever your circumstances with Jesus, you can arise to it or from it. Psalms chapter 37, verse 23 and 24. The Bible says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hands." It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. The next thing I want to look at tonight, in our text, you know what? God, Jesus didn't just tell those men to rise. He told them to walk. He told them to get moving. God's command is not just a call to rise and to stand, but a call to action, a call to serve. Jesus told those men to walk. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, "If we say we have no fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and doeth not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin." In 2 John chapter 1, verse 4, "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father." 2 John chapter 1 and verse 6, "And this is the love that we this is love that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that as ye have heard from me in the beginning, you should walk in it." We're commanded to walk with God. What does that mean tonight, walking with God? Ask yourself, how does God want me to walk with him? You know what? Sometimes it can just be a little bit difficult. So you know what? I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to do what I think God would have me to do. But you know, what does God want from me? Sometimes God's just wanting you to follow the path that he's got planned for you. We need to let God to direct our paths. Follow God's will for our life. Heed God's direction as he has given to you in his word. You know, we read about some of these men in the Bible and women that the Bible gave accounts of. They've done great things for the Lord. A lot of them, most all of them, have failed at some point or another and rose up past it. And God used them. They weren't no different than we are tonight. They're the same people, made out of the same dirt that we are. But God was used them in mighty ways because they were willing to walk with God. Not only did because they stood up and rose up, but they was willing to walk with God. They went down God's path. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, the Bible talks about Adam and Eve. They walked with God in the garden, but then they end up getting kicked out of the garden. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22, the Bible talks about Enoch. He walked with God, and then God took him. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, Noah walked with God. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1, God told Abram, "Walk before me and be perfect." And then in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 40, Abraham's servant, when he went for Rebekah, the Bible says that he walked with God. He prayed that God would show him who he needed to get in contact with. Abraham gave him a journey. He gave him a command to go down and bring back a wife for Isaac. And he didn't know who he was supposed to be getting in contact with or who the wife should be. And you know what? He was walking with God. And he prayed that God would show him. And God, he prayed specifically. And God answered his prayers. The Bible says he walked with God. In Exodus chapter 18 and verse 20, God told Moses to show the people, show the Israelites the way that they must walk. Joshua chapter 22 and verse 5, God told Joshua to take diligent heed to do the commandments. He also told him to walk in all of his ways. In 1 Kings chapter 19, we read a little bit about Elijah there. In verses number 9 through 19, God told Elijah to go forth from the cave. And that's when he ended up finding Elisha out plowing whenever he came out of there. If you want to write down some more verses tonight, run through a list real quick. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. Psalms chapter 15 and verses 1 and 2. Psalms chapter 23 verse 4. Psalms chapter 26 verse 1. Proverbs chapter 3, 22 and 23. Proverbs 10 verse 9. Proverbs 13 and 20. Isaiah 33, 15. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Isaiah 43 and verse number 2. John chapter 8 and verse 12. John chapter 12 and verse 35. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25. Ephesians 2, 2 and 10. Ephesians 5, 8. Colossians 1, 10. Colossians 2, 6. All verses talking about walking with God. It talks about how God walks with us. You take time. We're not going to take time to read all of them tonight, but you need to take and study those verses. I encourage you to do a word search on walking with God, whatever it may be, but get into your Bible and do that. As we try to finish up this evening, the last thing that we've seen in these two stories, the Bible talks about how He told these men to rise. He told them to walk, but He also told them to take up their bed. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, the Bible says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof." God told these men, both of them, He told them to rise up. He told them to take up their bed and walk. And I want to tell us tonight, don't go back to what God's risen you up from. Don't be going back and laying around where God has left you. What I said earlier was Satan's number two goal, game plan, is to make you impotent, blind, halt, withered, an ineffective Christian. Someone that can't see a need around them, or that sees a need but is halt and won't move to it. Or somebody that's withered back because they've been hurt or whatever it may be. Amen. Jesus told those men to take their beds with them. He didn't just say, "Get up out of here and get on it." He didn't tell them to leave that there. He commanded them to take that bed and take it out of there, not to go back to that place. In the first story we read, I told you how God, we read in that verse, I think it was verse number 14. Yeah, verse number 14. It says, "Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee." When we come back to a place that God's brought you out of, you've been delivered from that. But when you come back into it, it's a worse condition than it was the first time. I know how I am in different things. I know things that I struggle with. There's times that I've put stuff behind me and I've said, "You know what? I'm done with that. I ain't messing with that no more." And I felt like I've been delivered. But then the next thing I know, I'm right back there in the same place. And we're right back to it. The Bible calls them besetting sins. We go right back to it. The most important thing that I want you to understand about tonight is don't leave that bed laying there. If God has commanded you and you have risen up out of that, and God is calling you to walk into action and to go, the worst thing that can happen is that you can rise up out of a situation. God has delivered you from that. You've went on to serve God. You're going to go on. You're going to walk. You're going to try to follow God's path. You're going to try to be a light and to shine for people among you. And you know what? The next thing you know, you've left that bed laying back there. You go right back to it. And you've made more of a reproach on God's name than had you just stayed there in the first place. Because you know what? People look at you, they say, I remember that guy was preaching. That guy used to go to church all the time. That woman used to dress modestly. Now look at her. Take up your bed and get it out of there. Don't go laying around where God has raised you up from. As we close tonight, I want to ask you a few questions. Where are you at in your life tonight? Are you in need of salvation? Are you in need of a Savior? And say, you know what, Jeremy, I want to rise up from this situation, but I just don't have any help in me. You're not going to be able to rise up from it without Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Without a Savior, you're lost.
Yeah.
You're not only lost and heading to hell, but you're not going to be able to overcome those situations. I've said many times, me and my wife discussed different things or problems that people went through or that we've went through in our lives. And we say, you know what? I don't know how people deal with this without having a God and a loving Jesus and somebody to he promises from God's Word. How do you deal with stuff like that? They don't. They go to the world. You go to drugs. You go to alcohol. You go to more pleasure. You try to hide yourself from it. Whatever it may be. Because you're in need of a Savior. Are you in need of a Savior tonight? Is there something that's got you down tonight that you need to rise up from? Have you fallen into sin? God can rise you up from it.
Amen.
How is your walk with God tonight? You say, you know what, preacher, I feel like I'm good. Like the man told me. Well, me and God, we're good. I'm going to heaven. I'm trying to stay out of bad stuff. I'm just living. And somebody told me just recently, just living life. I said, that's a full-time job. But how's your walk with God? Where are you at with God? What's your relationship with Him? Have you been living for Him? The commandment is simple tonight. The Bible said He told those men to rise, take up their bed, and to walk. Stand with me this evening.